And welcome back to Run the Draw Week 15. We are brought to you by songs you've probably never heard of. Tweet at us if you know that hot track. This is Chase. I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Aaron.
Whoa. Hello.
We're here to talk about Week 15 of the college football season, do some bowl projections, not talk Cruton, because... adult, and maybe get an in-person introduction to this week's sponsor.
Yeah, possibly. This week we are brought to you by Amazon Whole Foods Prime Now grocery delivery. I don't actually know what it's called because there's a lot of words there, and two companies.
And a very generic noun.
Yeah.
And a very generic verb.
Use code Run the Draw at checkout. And not only will you get $10 off your first order, you'll get a free bag of Stacy's Simply Naked Pita Chips.
Fucking right you will.
So
I love those.
Pretty good deal. They're actually on sale right now. Usually $3.39. Right now $2. So I'm not good at math, but that's a lot.
It's about 30%.
Yeah.
Dude, we shop at Whole Foods, not all the time, but a good bit. It's really close to our house too. And so sometimes if I just want a snack, it's a good place to go.
Yeah.
I feel like I will often go in there and kind of get suckered into spending like $25 more than I went in there to spend.
Sure, yeah.
But those pita chips are well priced.
Yeah, they're a staple. That's what's kind of funny about Whole Foods is like, you're like, man, I bought like these $11 chocolate covered plantains from Peru. I mean, from Austin via Peru. But then you're like, man, I can't find cheaper walnuts anywhere. So. Especially I live near a really small one. Actually, the closest grocery store to me is also a Whole Foods, but it's a really tiny one. And it's in a it's definitely not in a part of town you expect to see a Whole Foods. Let me put it that way. And it sells a lot of staples. Like it has more staples and less of the, it's, you know, less of the fancy shit. So, and I've been told, yeah, no office supplies yet. But I've been told by a couple people that their prices are lower at this one because it was like a deal with the city to get it there. It's a
food desert.
Yeah, 100%.
Whole Foods life hack. If you go to a Whole Foods, especially a good one, I don't know if the one that you're near it will qualify as good enough for this activity, but... the cheese section at a Whole Foods is, I don't know what I'm trying to say. The cheese section. So my Whole Foods has the cheese section and it's good. They have a whole bunch of different types of cheese, but they're expensive, right? They're really expensive. But in the like cold deli meat, sausage, fucking salumi, prosciutto, fridge box area, they have like this basket, and the basket is all the like butt ends of the cheese or like awkward pieces. So when people come in and they're like, I want a pound and a half of this fucking weird Gruyere. And then they have like a 4 ounce piece of the Gruyere. They just wrap it, weigh it, and throw it in this basket. And it's like 60 cents. So cheese plate life hack. Just go grab like the odds and ends cheese pieces at Whole Foods.
Yeah. It's a great way to learn about new cheeses. Or old cheeses that you already knew about.
Cheeses of Nazareth. It's good to learn about that dairy product. So the Whole Foods delivery guy may show up during the podcast.
Yeah. If he doesn't show up during the podcast, he's in trouble.
And so is our sponsor.
Yeah. And then so are we, because who are we without our sponsors?
Just two guys making dick jokes on the internet.
Yeah, pretty much.
So if those dick jokes interest you, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Run the Draw. Rate and review us on iTunes. Did anybody leave a review after last week?
Keep going. Let's find out.
You begged pretty hard, but then you said this weird thing about social security number, and I feel like that probably turned some people off. Go ahead and email us your questions at runthedrawpodcast@gmail.com. I'm jumping ahead here, but we've got two episodes left after this. So this is your third to last episode of the 2018 Run the Draw season. And if you've been listening for more than one season, you know that last episode's probably not going to happen. So might have two episodes left. Two episodes left of our sultry voices. So go ahead and smash that follow button on Twitter, Grindr, Airbnb, VRBO. Follow us on Delectable.
Yeah.
Swipe in the good direction on Grindr. Can't ever remember which direction that. Do you swipe on Grindr?
Yeah, and a lot more.
Hey-o.
Yes, so wait, I think I believe it's a swipe-based interface, if that was your question.
I like that.
Swipe-based interface. Those FBIs, man, they're really just crushing things right now in the tech game.
That's true. It's
so how are reviews looking? How are our rivalry?
I'm having a lot of trouble finding them, actually. Let me clean that up. I'm having a lot of trouble finding how to see them. Because I don't use iTunes basically ever. So
what do you use? What's your podcast platform of choice?
I use Overcast, which if you're not using Overcast, you really should.
I'm not using it. You tried to sell me on it one time and I
here, let me sell you on it. They have this great stat. It has a thing where basically it will, instead of speeding up your podcast to make it go faster, it will cut out, it will shorten silences. So it shortens the podcast, but it's like pretty much imperceptible when you listen to it. And it has saved me approximately, it says smart speed has saved you an extra 58 hours beyond speed adjustments alone. That's so
depressing.
It's a little, yeah, it's terrifying. I don't listen to that many podcasts.
What about like dramatic podcasts where you need the pause to like really, really feel it, like S-Land or Serial? Can you turn it off? All right, so we have one review.
I see two, actually.
Oh, we have two.
Yeah.
So earlier this year in September, Shelley from London reviewed us. The title of the review is Yes. And then she says, "This is the best South Carolina podcast made by two guys named Aaron and Chase that you'll ever hear. Literally tens of people might listen every week. Don't be left out." 5 stars. I don't know how this is the first time I'm seeing this review. But 1 year ago, it actually says friend of the pod Ross gave us a review, subject line thumbs up, and friend of the pod Ross's review says, "I like this college football podcast and I don't even like college football that much." Oh, I want to make that my background on my phone, I think. Oh, that's so excellent. Is that the delivery guy?
Yeah, the delivery guy just got here.
Sweet. So,
yeah. He said...
okay, well, thanks.
He said thank you to me. So, is it cool if I just open my packages right here live on the radio?
Yeah, tell us what you got. On the radio.
Just kidding. I'm going to throw this bag in the freezer and then we'll proceed.
Oh, how are you going to leave us hanging like that?
Well, that was the freezer bag, and that had a bag of peas, bag of corn,
ooh,
and some ice cream. So
what
So yeah, it's pretty crazy world we live in now, huh?
Yeah, it sure is. Should we talk about football?
No, I mean, why start now? Also, one more pitch. Please give us some reviews. We have this sad sentence above our reviews that says, "We have not received enough ratings to display an average for this podcast." I don't know how Apple iTunes does math, but I think you can take the average of two things. So they're lying, but we also want to get there, you know?
Yeah.
Hey everyone, it's Aaron here. As you know, we joke a lot about sponsors on this podcast, but this week we have a real one. Here's the thing though, I didn't tell Chase. Listen, Christmas is coming up, and I have two kids to buy presents for. So let's keep this between us. Me and the boys will be eternally grateful. So,
well, there were some games.
Yeah. A lot of championships, huh?
A lot of championships. I watched some football, but not a ton. I went to get excited a birthing class.
Well,
I'm having a child. Yeah. My wife is having a child. I will have one, but I am not hosting one in my person like she is.
Right.
But we went to the class to learn the things. So I didn't watch a ton of football. But you know what? If you're a listener of this podcast, you're probably okay with it. And if you're not, fucking lose my number because it's my child.
Lose my number.
So let's start with the SEC. God's conference.
Yes.
It just means more. And it means so much more to Alabama than it does to Georgia because they won 35-28.
Yeah.
Alabama has had more points in a football game against Georgia two times in the last year. Actually, two times in this calendar year.
Yeah.
2018. For a total of 1 minute.
Yeah.
That's how long Alabama held a lead over Georgia in football this year. But it turns out that's more time than you need to win a football game. So Alabama wins again. The drama with this game is that starting quarterback in a inverse version of the championship game in January that could only be programmed by the singularity itself because we're living in a computer simulation. The script was flipped, as a kid say. Alabama starting quarterback Tua goes out with an ankle injury after not playing super well, throwing two touchdowns. And then backup quarterback, who used to be the starting quarterback, Jalen Hurts comes in, puts the team on his back, though, and takes the Crimson Tide to the promised land, 35-28. So Alabama wins. We're not going to spend a ton of time talking about the playoff. Well, I guess we are going to pick some games. But spoiler alert, Alabama made the playoff. I don't know what would have happened if they hadn't won this game, but they did, and they made it.
Yeah.
And that's for Alabama.
Yeah, pretty wild. I think
it was a fun game.
Yeah.
I was watching the last quarter of this game.
I know Georgia fans are very disappointed in this, obviously. But nobody else has been able to do anything close to that this season or last season for that matter.
Against Alabama, you mean?
Yeah, lead consistently. So much less beat them. So I think that's good news for Georgia going forward. Really painful now, and it keeps Georgia out of the playoff. There was a few people who were saying they would still make it with this type of loss. I frankly didn't see it happening, and it didn't. So
yeah, you can't. I mean, LSU is good, but that loss to LSU by 20 points really did them in.
Yeah. Yep.
Moving on to the other Dr. Pepper sponsored championship game. Oklahoma beats Texas in a thriller, 39-27. Kind of a weird game, but it was really close for a while. And Oklahoma goes on to score 12 unanswered points. 12-in. Kicked off by a – or not kicked off. They started the field goal, but then they got a really weird safety. Not weird. It just like – it was like an NFL blitz-style safety where the guy just rushed off the edge. Corner came untouched. And, I mean, the quarterback hadn't even finished his like five-step drop before he just got lit up in the end zone. But anyways, they score again late with 2 minutes and seal the deal, 39-27. I mean, did you think that Texas was going to be playing in the Big 12 championship at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I did, because they were back. They were back. So, no, I didn't. And I didn't think a 3-loss Texas team in particular would be playing in the Big 12 championship. So, pretty surprised by this, but pretty good year for Texas, you know, pending what happens in the bowl game. But, yeah, they're back.
Oklahoma, of course, did make the playoff. They were the team that got the number 4 spot over Georgia, so to speak, if you're a Georgia fan. Their one loss on the year, of course, coming earlier this year to Texas. They lost 48-45. And they totally redeemed themselves and beat Texas to win the Big 12. So, Kyler Murray, one thing we don't talk about on this podcast, because I don't know. I think it's kind of fucking stupid, is the Heisman thing. Yeah. I just don't care about the Heisman. But Vegas odds are that Kyler Murray, the quarterback of Oklahoma, has now better odds to win the Heisman than Tua at Alabama. So that's a thing.
Yeah. That checks out. For better or for worse, there's always this talk of the Heisman moment. And I don't think anybody's had one this year that I can recall. But Tua's Heisman moment actually was Jalen Hurts' Heisman moment. So so that can't help his case. So
the weird thing about him winning the Heisman is he is almost a millionaire. Like, I would say he's the closest thing to a millionaire that will have ever won a Heisman if he wins it.
So didn't...
Because...
What's the Florida State quarterback from the late 90s? Chris, yeah, did he win? Yeah.
Winkie? Yeah, Chris Winkie won the
Heisman. He was probably a millionaire, right? He played baseball.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he
Yeah, but he played minor
league baseball. Yeah, all right.
So, I don't know. I don't know if he cashed that check. He was a 4th-round draft pick. No, wait, that's the NFL. I don't know if he made a mill. But the mill is basically already in Kyler Murray's pocket because he signed with the Oakland A's. So once his season is over, he's going to cash that check.
Yeah.
The American Athletic Conference, the AAC.
Sure, yeah.
Also hosted a very exciting championship game between the Golden Knights of Central Florida and the unranked Memphis Tigres. Super interesting game because Mackenzie Milton, the starting quarterback for UCF, had a horrendous Marcus Lattimore-style knee injury 2 games ago, or 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago? Last week. I don't know. It was bad, and they didn't have their quarterback. So they had their backup, which we talked about last week, and they had to battle back. They scored 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to win 56-41. They were... down by 6 going into the fourth quarter at home. So super exciting game, and they kept doing like really cool crowd shots of like Mackenzie Milton's parents, or like at least his mom, I think. And a bunch of the students were wearing like leis around their neck and like Hawaiian shirts and stuff because he's from Hawaii. And a bunch of players were wearing leis underneath their jerseys, which is kind of funny because they kind of pop out after like big tackles. So it was cool. UCF finishes the regular season 12-0. They're ranked number 8. I think it's bullshit. I think they should be in the playoff, but yep. What do I know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There are a couple other that are not super exciting or notable, but we should probably mention
Clemson won the ACC. They destroyed Pitt. Ohio State won the Big 12/10. Washington won the Pac-12.
Washington won the Pac-12 in front of not many live
units. Also, Dr. Pepper is the ACC championship game also in the Big 12.
Yeah. Ah, shit.
Sorry
about that, SEC. Who's the SEC sponsor? Chick-fil-A?
No, they don't take one because it just means more. No sponsorship for them.
Wow. Really,
I know, right? Wow. Leaving money on the table.
Sponsored by the South. Yeah.
You can get Raisin Cane's or Ali's, so many good, you know, fast food establishments that would be happy to put their name on that, you know.
Zesto's, Rush's, Lizard's fucking Thicket.
Hey, we should.
Boise State played a game.
Yeah, in the snow. Sorry, we have to. I think we should. We should get all our followers together and sponsor a bowl. And I think we should.
A bowl of chicken.
No, I think we should team up with Lizard's Thicket and get like the Lizard's Thicket Myrtle Beach Bowl or something.
That's a great idea. Brought to you by Run the Draw.
In collaboration with. All right, we'll talk about that next episode. We're gonna have to do some planning on that one.
We're gonna need to workshop that a little bit more, but there's something there. I can feel it.
Who'd Boise play?
Boise State, which is not a state, played Fresno State, also not a state. And Boise State lost at home, which is rare, 19-16 in overtime. They lost it in what I'm going to call a blizzard. Reinforcing my point that Boise's home advantage only counts when the field is actually blue. When it's covered in snow, they lose their superpower. Hey, do you remember when we were looking at Utah State Stadium earlier this season and I thought the zip code was the capacity? The over-under on this game was. So, not quite there.
No.
And probably the biggest game of the weekend. Yeah. Scrappy Mac competitor Akron.
Yeah.
Visited Columbia, South Carolina to play our beloved Gamecocks. Before we talk about this game, this was a reschedule of the Marshall game that had to get canceled because of the hurricane. And, you know, growing up in the South, speaking generally, of course, before lest we get in a debate about Miami's stake to the claim of South, hurricanes and inclement weather are kind of a way of a normal part of life. But it feels like recently we've had some big hurricanes and they've been pretty damaging to multiple communities. And I think one of the cool things has been watching the rivals and conference partners, so to speak, kind of help each other out in the times where shit gets real and things much bigger than football happen, like hurricanes and floods and that kind of thing. A good example of this was when South Carolina played LSU. South Carolina was supposed to host LSU. And am I getting the story right?
Yes.
Oh, they did host LSU, but they delayed the game and a lot of people didn't come. It was a, kind of an empty stadium. But Leonard Fournette came out after the game and said, like, hey, I'm going to auction my jersey off from this game and give all the proceeds to, like, the Red Cross of South Carolina or whatever. And it was just, like, cool, like, time where, like, LSU fans were like, hey, we've obviously had, like, massive storm issues in our part of the country, and people really stepped up and, like, housed our players and all sorts of stuff. All sorts of, like, very feel-good things.
Yeah.
So the South Carolina Athletic Department posted this past week, late in the week, I think Wednesday or Thursday, maybe Friday, late in the week, they posted a link where tickets would be free to the Akron game. So these, like, small, like, out-of-conference games are not super well attended, and a reschedule where the whole entire season has not been planned around having a game this weekend. A lot of families have not made plans for it or have not traveled to town. And so the athletic department offered free tickets to the game. And a bunch of fucking Clemson fans logged online and downloaded the tickets with the intent of not using them.
Yeah.
And posted about it all over their stupid fucking Clemson message boards. And I just think this is such bullshit. And I want to.
Yeah. Truth, man. That sucks. But what, you know?
It's just the thing that frustrates me so much is, like, for the whole time that Dabo has been at Clemson, they've had this, like, weird, like, air of arrogance that, like, not atypically in the South is, like, somehow correlated to, like, their religious beliefs. But they have this, like, fake humble Dabo thing to them, which is fine. I mean, believe whatever religion you want to believe. But I just feel like this kind of shit in recent years, now that they've, like, been contending for national championships, is, like, standard behavior. And, of course, obviously not every Clemson fan logged online and did it. Like, I know that there's a rare chunk of idiots that did it. But, like, this is – it's so fucked up. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, this has nothing to do with the Akron game. Well, I guess it is. It's tickets to the Akron game, but I saw a lot of people.
Yeah, that bumps me out. I didn't know that, and it's just, yeah, you know, like, there's something to that. Like, that stadium's empty, and, like, but, like, I don't know. If you're that cool, then buy the tickets. Or make a donation. Like, if they would have made a donation to a charity, I would have been like, okay, you know. Still fuck you, but, like, I would have felt a lot differently about it. But yeah, just bring some good out of it. And also, come on, you're second in the country. Like, it's not really necessary, but yeah.
Pool a bunch of money together, buy a grip of tickets, donate them to, like, the Boys and Girls Club of Columbia. And then, like, say, go Tigers on the
yeah.
Or yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or give them orange shirts to wear with the Clemson paw on them. Like, hey, game on. Totally cool. Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on from this, because it's a bummer. Also, much like.
So South Carolina beats Akron.
Yeah. Go much ahead. Much like South Carolina's offense in this second half of this game.
Yeah, so South Carolina wins 28-3. No points are scored in the second half. We go to halftime 28-3. I mean, I didn't watch the whole second half of this game. It was really, really rainy. Which I'm going to just blame for. I'm just going to blame that. But can I read you the end result?
Yeah.
Of every drive of the second half.
Please. Yes.
You ready? Akron -6 yards, punt. South Carolina -4 yards, punt. Akron -2 yards, punt. South Carolina 17 yards, fumble. Akron turnover on downs. South Carolina interception. Akron, punt. South Carolina, fumble. Akron, fumble. South Carolina, turnover on downs. Akron, punt. South Carolina, punt. Akron, turnover on downs. South Carolina, punt. Akron, punt. South Carolina, punt. End of game.
Feel the excitement. It just means more.
The only thing that's better than that is in the first half, one of the drives, the way it ends is described as fumble touchdown.
Oh, is that the Debo?
Which sounds like someone who did
the Debo Samuel fumble return.
Yeah, it was a 4th and 3 botched punt.
Is it kind of weird that Debo was on the punt block team?
He always is.
Even okay.
This is not the first time he's recovered a fumble on the punt.
Yeah, I mean in this game in particular, especially considering a topic in our stuff section, which is him not playing in the bowl game. I don't know. It seems a little weird. I guess it's not that weird. Whatever. Disregard my comments.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. It's not weird.
So anyway, he scored 3 touchdowns. All of South Carolina's offense went through him, even when it was through the defense. So. So we're really going to miss Tebow.
Yep.
South Carolina objectively loses this game to the Akron Zips 3-0 without Tebow Samuel.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. Anything else on South Carolina? Yeah.
No, I think that's it.
I think it's time for Garth talk. How's Garth doing?
He's doing well. He played Notre Dame Stadium on yesterday, Sunday. Did you happen to watch it?
No, of course not. I would never spoil this section of the podcast by watching Garth Brooks.
Yeah. That's a damn shame.
Did you watch it?
I had a clip I was going to play for you. No, but I kind of wish I did. I've got a clip for you. Where he's in Dallas, Texas, on a balcony. He's on a hotel balcony. Can I play?
Is this Notre Dame Stadium? Okay.
No.
Go ahead.
It's just like classic Garth fan, right. Kind of weird.
Morning, Dallas. Just a great night last night. Flew in from Portland. Got to do the show all day. Bought my truck back last night. So can't wait to tear that thing up. And today, another fun-filled day. Got some serious butt to kick.
Hey, some serious what?
Wow. Butt to kick? He says it as he's putting his sunglasses on, for the record.
Well, I love it. And he brought his truck? I have so many questions.
Yeah, he just picked up his truck, ready to tear that thing up. That's what he said.
Okay. All right, Garth.
I feel like this next clip I'm going to play you is really relevant to this podcast and our listeners. You ready for it?
Are you kidding me? We're going to fill this up? CBS Tonight, country sensation Garth Brooks will rock the house that Rodney built. The first live concert ever held at legendary Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah, I got friends in Notre Dame Stadium. Standing
outside. Garth live in Notre Dame tonight after 60 minutes.
Only CBS.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Pretty great.
Are you kidding me? That's a good one. That's me drinking a daiquiri on Bourbon Street. Are you kidding me? We're going to fill this up?
Are you kidding me? We're going to fill this up? Man.
Garth's having a busy winter. Good for him. Yes,
please. Do you want to move on to stuff? Friend of the podcast, again? Bill Snyder, has retired.
Again.
Just kidding. Not friend of the podcast. He has no idea what a podcast is.
Remembrance, I'll share my favorite Bill Snyder fact, and that is in the 90s, he helped develop a college football coaching shoe with Nike, and it's basically just, actually, they'd probably do really well now. They're basically just like classic old man shoes in all white, if memory serves. So basically they look like all the $500 sneakers people wear now. But Nike stopped making them because they made a shoe that like literally maybe 400 people could wear. He loved them so much that he bought like, he bought like a lifetime supply of them. Maybe Bill just ran out of shoes and he was like, I can't stand to go into work in New Balances or, you know, regular Nikes. So he just threw the towel in. I'm just imagining him at breakfast and like spilling some coffee on him and just going like, oh no. And just having to call the AD immediately and be like, listen, it happened. I'm done.
So, you alluded to this. He coached twice at the same school, had a long run, 1989 to 2005, widely considered one of the more successful rebuilding efforts in college football history, made Kansas State great again, or great for the first time. And then they hired who? Ron yes. Prince? And then,
I haven't heard that name in a while.
Ron Prince. So that didn't go super well for him. And so then old Billy Snydog, the Snydog, comes back, slides on in at 2009 and cranks out another 9 years and calls it quits. The dude gets I almost said abducted. Fortunately, he did not get abducted. Because there's no way he's fighting off any abductors. But he did get inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame while coaching. That's like,
yeah, that's pretty sweet.
How baller is that? He's also in the Kansas State Hall of Fame already. That's pretty dope. That happened in 2008. Which is the same year he came, basically the year before he came back. So
RIP. He's a legend, right?
He has 8 grandkids. He's 79 years
old.
He's
actually not as old as I thought. He's old, but I feel like
79. Can you imagine trying to wrangle a bunch of 18-year-old college football players? I mean,
yeah, that's
when I meet someone at 79 that I'm not related to, I like, you know, talk slow and veer away from like difficult to understand concepts,
like racism or just kidding. That's a joke. Because old people are always racist. All of them.
Even
100%. Yeah. I'm just saying that because I was roped into a conversation with two old people today, and one of them just casually used the N-word. Granted, he was referencing a piece of written material, but I was just like, you know, we say the N-word for a reason. Like I got it. So it was just a lot of agreement between old men. Like, oh yeah, yeah. So anyway, let's hope Bill Snyder is not actually a racist.
Bill Snyder has been married twice and I guess, divorced. No,
he's single.
So Wikipedia is showing. Oh no, he's still married. Just kidding. So he's still married to a second wife. So still slinging that D. He's got a son. He's got a son named Sean Snyder, who was an All-American punter at Kansas State under his dad as the coach. And he is a special teams coordinator at Kansas State. And I'll go ahead and say it. Candidate for the job. I mean, I don't know. Who
not Les Miles.
Not Les Miles.
So Bill Snyder, he only eats one meal a day. So he's on that. He must be a Tim Ferriss podcast listener.
What?
Getting that intermittent fasting.
Who knew that Bill Snyder was all about intermittent fasting?
So I thought for a brief moment we could do Bill Snyder cocktails, and I was like, anyway, for K-State's Bill Snyder, food and sleep go together. This is an actual headline a person got paid to write. So sometimes he eats Taco Bell on his way home after work, and that's all he eats. The short answer is food puts him to sleep, so eating earlier in the day doesn't make sense. I think you got to test that a little more empirically. I think if you eat in the morning, you probably won't be so tired. I think you just wait to eat.
At this point, his body's just like running off his own fuel. It's just eating itself. Hey, you know my favorite part about this story? He announced his retirement on December 2nd. Literally 4 months ago, on August 9th, almost 4 months to the date, Kansas State announced that Bill Snyder had just signed a 5-year extension worth $3.5 million.
Oh, did it change the buyout? I wonder if my thought is maybe they pulled a one over to like look good for the recruits, and they also changed his buyout so he could just retire and nobody had to pay him money.
He played quarterback and defensive at Missouri.
Is that real?
1912.
That can't be real. It did. I had to do the math in my head for a second.
It sounded real for a second, didn't it?
That was 160.
Come on. But everybody listening just went, oh fuck, maybe it was 1912.
Yep.
All right, shout out to Bill Snyder. Also, we've definitely made a call for him already because we talked about his Nike-sponsored sneakers.
We've got Central Michigan hiring Jim McElwain. That seems like a good hire. There aren't any sharks I'm aware of in the center of Michigan. So he should really be focused on the job there. Yeah.
Smart move.
Yeah. And even the
smart
center.
Smart move to go landlocked by old Jim.
It's like, hey man, it's in the name. There's no water here. Like center. It's the center of Michigan. Go ahead.
Is Central Michigan a better or worse job than Colorado?
I'm gonna say it's a worse job.
He should have just stayed.
He's going after that Florida money. I mean, he had to do it and all that. I mean, a lot of beach. A lot of water access in Florida. You know what I mean?
A lot of eligible sharks.
Oh, boy. So we've got next here something I know nothing about. It says UGA alumni tried to do a Twitter thing.
Yeah, they did.
No, I saw nothing.
You really didn't hear anything about this? So the UGA Alumni Association has a Twitter account, which is UGA Alumni Asoc, which for some reason is followed by the University of South Carolina's official Twitter account. I'm not sure I understand that, but that's for a different day. So going into the SEC championship, the UGA Alumni Association Twitter account proceeded to tweet at every SEC team other than Alabama, like their official account, and try to get their fans to cheer for Georgia with the hashtag.
Oh, I did hear about this. I didn't realize this is what it was. Okay.
And they got ripped on Twitter for it, as you can imagine. At Tennessee alum, yes, we've had our differences, but what if we turn the first Saturday in December into the third Saturday in October? Will you be a dog for a day?
Yeah.
And are you familiar with the term ratioed? This is where you get significantly more replies to your tweet than you do likes and retweets, really. And they got basically ratioed all to hell. They did it to Carolina. They did it to Tennessee. They did it to Kentucky. They did it to Mizzou. I mean, Mizzou and Kentucky didn't really care, but they got really ripped.
Yeah, I can imagine so.
UF.
So
it shows the tweet at UF.
Huh.
They said, look, at UF alumni, we've said a lot of things to each other over the years, but at least we never made Tim Tebow cry. Cheer for revenge against Bama and come be a hashtag dog for a day.
Okay, so I think they're
they just threw so much shade.
Here's the thing. I think their heart is in the right place here, because we all hate, so many college football fans hate Alabama, right? Like, it's not just you and I, right? Like, we hate Alabama's, like, just complete dominance of the sport for the past 10 years, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I hate it with a different hatred than I hate.
Like, they could have, I suspect this would have worked much better if they went to, like, the whole college, like all of college football Twitter. Actually, maybe not. Twitter's savage, but there is a lot of anti-Alabama sentiment. So I agree. And, you know, but as a South Carolina fan, I don't want either of these teams to win basically ever. So it's kind of a tough, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. Yeah. But there? good people at UGA alumni. I know a couple, I believe. So it didn't work. And actually it did work out, because we're talking about it and I heard other people talking about it. I just didn't realize it was a Twitter thing. So no such thing as a bad publicity, right? No. Okay. Middle Tennessee probably lost their conference title on a penalty. No. I didn't see anything, man.
Yeah, did you see that? So shout out to UAB. UAB comes back from actually not having a football team to winning their conference. They were playing Middle Tennessee. UAB was up by, I want to say, 2 or 3. We'll call it 3, with no timeouts. A minute left, and Middle Tennessee also did not have any timeouts. I think UAB had a timeout, but it didn't matter because it was 4th and 3. They were on their own 30, so the scenario is that they are punting. They're punting to Middle Tennessee on 4th and 3 with a minute left. So Middle Tennessee is going to receive the ball with probably fine field position and basically have a chance with no timeouts to put together a 1 minute drive for a field goal to tie the game. And on fourth and three on a punt, they sent out 12 people on the field. They got an illegal substitution penalty for 5 yards and an automatic first down. And then UAB took a knee and the game ended.
No, that's not good.
Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Dude, pay attention.
What a sport. But yeah, you said this earlier, pretty incredible story for UAB. You know, whether they end up winning that game or not, literally didn't have a football team a couple of years ago. So, yeah. Let's see. Debo not playing in the bowl game. I'm fine with this. Are you fine with this?
He is not.
Yeah.
I'm super fine with this. So Debo Samuel, probably South Carolina's best player on the team, best player in several years. He's a senior and is going to obviously try to take a swing at the NFL draft. Most draft projections I see have got him in the top three rounds, maybe like a third round pick. His career at South Carolina has been plagued by injuries. He's basically been hurt every single year. And the homeboy makes it to the end of the season and is like, I'm not playing one more game. For the most part, I've seen only positive things about this on social media. I'm glad that no one's like giving him some shit. There are a handful of like probably mentally ill South Carolina fans who have tweeted some stuff with, this is selfish. But then I go and I read the rest of their tweets and they might as well be Russian bots based on the other stuff that they tweet.
I mean, there's definitely a certain contingent of college football fans, particularly on Twitter, who will never say anything positive about basically any kid doing anything positive for themselves and not the team. So good. This is good.
Right. Agreed. Yeah, this is good. I hope he makes lots of fun.
Chase, what's your favorite bowl? Sorry, what's the best bowl?
I think just in terms of general bowl appreciation, I'm going to say the Bahamas Bowl.
No, not the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl?
Home loans in Arizona, the two things that I think of together.
Why is this your favorite bowl? Yeah.
Dude, the Bahamas Bowl is so good. Well, because 1 year they were sponsored by fucking Popeyes. And that's amazing because there's not a Popeyes in the Bahamas. But they declined to renew the sponsorship. So now it's the Elk Grove. Oh, just kidding. Now it's the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl.
What is Makers Wanted?
Elk Grove Village, Illinois. So I guess the city itself is sponsoring the bowl.
We can get our own bowl.
Home to the largest...
Right.
Home to the largest industrial park in the United States. But
we do have tens of listeners. It can't be much.
How much do you think they paid for that?
Like, I'm thinking less than $50,000. You think it's like some of these, like, look at some of these things, man. It's like Elk Grove. I mean, I guess clearly they got some money because they just like went and rebranded. But like, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you do know that I own like a Bad Boy Mowers. Dad, so.
Wait, Jared Birmingham Ball? Is that like Jared the Jeweler? That can't be right. 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 Yes, it's Jared.
Sponsors attached to New Year, pre-New Year's Day bowls.
There is no way.
Somewhere between $500,000 to $1 million for their sponsorship opportunities. With most sponsors paying closer to $1 million for December 29th through 31st.
But what about... I don't buy this. Yeah, what about on Friday, December 21st?
It seems like a lot.
That's no
500 girth. That's what Forbes says.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, let's move on to some questions.
First one, we got a set of a few from Calvin Babcock, noted run the draw Georgia Tech alumni expert, etc. He says, should Georgia Tech find a coach to continue the flex bone with the triple option offense on the premise that it provides above average success with mediocre recruits? The assumption here is that Tech will never compete with schools that prioritize football. Should they? I don't think they should, because I think there are actually better ways to provide above average success with mediocre recruits. And that is, you know, the hurry up stuff, the spread option, paint your field the color of your uniforms,
painting the field blue,
unless they're green. You know, putting, yeah, so, yeah, you can do that much.
Yeah, cheaper. Don't paint the field green.
So no, I think I think it's still an advantage in that on that level, but not nearly as much as it used to be. And I do think the other ways of doing it are better now. You know, I think we've seen in the last probably 4 or 5 years, and probably the last like 2 to 3 more than ever, a lot of these smaller teams are now able to compete with big name teams. And I, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it seems like we've seen a lot more, you know, Power Five teams lose to unranked, you know, Group of Five teams than we've seen ever before. So, to me, the only question is like, are you willing to change the sort of history,
yeah,
that you have with it to do that? So, what do you think?
I mean, I think that Georgia Tech has some big issues. The first issue is the diversity in the degrees they offer. People oftentimes try to compare Georgia Tech to other schools that have like high academic standards, like Stanford. And it's a really shitty comparison because Stanford has like 10 times the number of degree options for students. Case in point, Andrew Luck got like literally a general degree. I mean, it's what it was called, which like South Carolina didn't even have like a general studies. I mean, then maybe they did, I don't know. But Georgia Tech doesn't have a wide diversity in degree programs. And everything that they do offer, the classic athlete degrees that are quote unquote easier, excuse me, like communications or one of those degrees, they're still all bachelor's in science degrees. They're not bachelor's in arts like you would see at a liberal arts college, which means every single fucking degree requires calculus and 2 lab sciences. So, like, they have an actual issue with academics. And I'm not saying that the best players aren't smart enough to do it. I'm saying that the best players don't want a football school life balance that looks like it does at Georgia Tech. That's point number one. Point number two, they don't spend enough money on their program. So that's terrifying compared to like your in-state rivals. That being said, I think you're right. I think the one thing that Georgia Tech has going for it is they're in Atlanta. Like they're smack dab in downtown Atlanta. And Atlanta has a lot going for it. Atlanta has a lot to say in pop culture. There's a show called Atlanta. It's like, for a lot of people, the capital of the South in terms of hip hop culture. Like, they could make, this is going to be comical when I say this, so hold back your laughter, but you know, they could make Georgia Tech mean to the city of Atlanta what Miami, what the U means to Miami. Not that they're going to be as good as the U, but just like connect it to the city. People in Miami cheer for the U, not because they went there, but because they live in Miami. And I think if they hire the right coach and have a fun up-tempo offense and like maybe move away from like the old smart white guy vibe that they have, they might have something going for them. Does that make sense?
It does. The other thing they could do, which is not that easy, is just lean into it and be Stanford on the East Coast. And I mean, you said this about Andrew Luck, so it's not quite a fair, totally fair, but the perception is pretty much the same, which I think goes a long way on that. So, curious to see what they do though. It seems like all the big triple option guys are kind of hired right now. You know, it's not something I keep up with a whole lot, but nobody's coming to mind. So, so we'll see. Calvin's second question: did Georgia get screwed by the fact that they would be favored to beat Oklahoma, yet were left out of the playoffs? I'm gonna say they were not screwed by that fact. You know, I think Georgia is very much good enough to be in the playoff. I mean, clearly they're in fact, I think they would be. I think they'd be probably favored against Clemson also and Notre Dame. I think they'd be favored against, they'd be the favorite for everybody except Alabama, who just beat them barely. But they, you know, they lost two games. You know, Oklahoma had the one loss to Texas and then they ended up beating them. So, you know, that helps a lot. What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we could do a whole podcast on this topic. The idea that does the fourth spot go to the best team or to the most deserving team? So Georgia's probably the best team between the two of them, but are they the most deserving? I know that I'm kind of splitting hairs with the definition of that word. To Bill Clinton. What is intercourse? But yeah, I think, given what happened, yeah, I think Oklahoma, I don't think Georgia got screwed. I think they screwed themselves. Yeah,
that's the only thing. It's a bad, bad loss. Now, if, you know, if LSU, you know, sort of wins out and plays for the conference title, it gets them, things are a little bit different. But, you know, 20 points is a lot. And then, you know, I think by the end of the year, LSU was not as good as everybody thought they were previously. So. And this last part, Bama gives up 14.5 points against Oklahoma. The over under is 79. I say Bama wins 35-14, not getting close to either bet. What say y'all? So what do you think here?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be the highest over under
I would have to imagine
Bama game in a long time, right? But Oklahoma's offense is really, really good and their defense is not. So I'd be surprised if Bama held them to 14 points, honestly. I mean, I think Oklahoma's offense is better than Georgia's offense. And Georgia scored how many points? 30 what on Alabama?
Somewhere in there. Or 28. There it is.
28. It was 35-28. So yeah, I mean that's like 30 points. So 79 scares me, but
yeah,
I'd probably take the over at 70.
I think this is gonna be a really interesting matchup. I think this is, besides Georgia being, you know, able to hang with Alabama for all but 60 seconds between two games, I think Oklahoma has the best chance to give Alabama fits. You know, mainly with their offense. I don't know how they're going to. I say this every week. I don't know how they're going to tackle a single offensive player for Alabama. But I guess we'll see. So, yeah, I think the score is going to be a good bit higher than that. 79, I think is. I think I'd bet under. Well, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take that bet first off. But if I did, I'd take the under. And then. The spread seems about right. I mean, like I said, I think Oklahoma has a real shot to like make this interesting, but I also said they can't tackle, so it could definitely go either way. But it's just like, can they score? Can their scoring make up for their tackling? And it has been for every game this season except for one. So yeah, so I think Bama's going to win this game. Probably, maybe I'd say maybe I could see being 45-30 or even 45-35, which would be the over. But yeah, so I'm this is the one I'm most excited to see by far.
Yeah,
what else we got? Me too. Mike Wong. Mike Wong, great question. How can we fix the Dr. Pepper challenge so someone doesn't Mike win Wong. By throwing a chest pass versus a spiral? Yeah, that's true.
Well, there's no way you're going to enforce throwing a spiral. You're out of
luck. Fix is a loaded word there. I don't think that's broken.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I do too.
We're operating on the assumption that it's broken. These sort of, I like it a lot.
So the one of the potential subplots in every time you watch this thing is like, are they going to try throw spirals or are they going to do chest passes? And especially, frankly, when it's a man versus a woman, because then the man has to be like, he has to like do the masculine awesome. Calculus of whether or not he's willing to like. Let Twitter and his friends make fun of him, you know, for getting a $60,000 scholarship by doing chest passes. So I don't think it's broken. I think. Yeah.
So the real way.
No, but go ahead.
It's not broken. The real way to adjust it or to fix it. Yeah. Would be to just say that you're only allowed to throw the ball with one hand. But this is going to sound sexist, and as someone who's married to a woman who probably back squats more than just about everybody listening to this podcast, I can say this. I think there are some ladies out there that don't have the actual arm strength to throw a ball with one hand.
Well, I think especially with a regulation size football, you have to have a pretty giant hand to even be able to hold it well enough to put a spiral on it, I feel like. Does that make sense? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no style points.
That's how we fix it. We would.
No style points, Mike Wong. Come on.
So we were going to pick every bowl game. There's 39 of them. And we're already at well over an hour. So what we're going to do is we've talked a little bit about Alabama, Oklahoma. Let's just real quick kind of go over our thoughts of the other playoff game, Clemson, Notre Dame, kind of an intriguing matchup. Notre Dame, I can't remember if you said this on the podcast or not this year, but Notre Dame went out and scheduled teams that when they set the schedule 5 years ago, they probably anticipated to be really fucking good. They scheduled Virginia Tech. They scheduled Florida State. They played Michigan to open the season. And not all of those teams ended up being the level of competition that you expect them to be. But whatever, some credit to Notre Dame for trying, I suppose. So Notre Dame's going to play Clemson at the Goodyear Cotton Bowl. Clemson, as of today, has opened up as a 11.5 point favorite.
Yeah, I think 11.5. I would have thought it'd been a little closer. I thought Vegas and everybody was giving Notre Dame a little more credit. Because they had kind of a weird season. I mean, you definitely said, like you said, a lot of these teams they scheduled were not as good as you would think in most years, particularly Florida State. But on the other end, and USC was down who they play every year. But like they beat the hell out of Syracuse, who was ranked number 12th in the second to last week of the season. So that was also very unexpected. And a lot of these, I don't know, they had a close game against Ball State for some reason, and Vandy destroyed Wake Forest, destroyed Stanford, destroyed Virginia Tech, close one with Pitt, beat Navy handily, kind of cruise against Northwestern, destroy Florida State. USC was a little dicey. I don't know. This is just a really solid, I don't know. This is like if this was Alabama's, you know, final tally at the end of the year, there would be no question about like how good they were, you know? So I think Notre Dame's probably a little bit better than 12 points.
Right.
Of Clemson. That said, I still think this is Clemson's to lose. You know, they've been in the playoff every year. Really the only like X factor in this is they have a true freshman quarterback. But that has not seemed to hinder them at any point so far this season. So
yeah. Yeah, I think I agree. The big question for me is like how effective is Clemson going to be stopping the pass? If they play like they played against South Carolina, that's not going to be a fun time for Clemson. They're averaging about the same amount of points allowed per game on defense, less than 3 touchdowns. But Clemson's averaging 10 more points scored per game than Notre Dame is. So
yeah,
just shitty math. That's probably partially where the line's coming from. But I mean, Notre Dame's averaging 265 yards a game passing. That'll be interesting. I think Clemson probably wins. I don't love 11.5 points though. I think Notre Dame
keeps it closer. Same. God, which is a weird.
I would be cheering my ass off for Notre
Dame.
Weird
place to be.
I mean, it's fine, whatever. I mean, I don't like Notre Dame at all. Don't get me wrong, but like,
yeah,
I've gone several years without actually having to fucking care about Notre Dame, so I'm okay with them beating Clemson in a playoff game.
So I've been kind of looking at the entire slate of bowls here, and is it just me? This has not felt like the best college football season, and this. For whatever reason, this bowl slate is really hammering that point home for me. Would you?
Yeah, part of the problem with the bowl games is that conferences have control over it. So the bowls don't actually get to entirely choose the matchup. And so you're getting these like really stupid fucking matchups. Like Florida could have played UCF, yeah. And that would have been so cool. And instead, we have to watch Florida play Michigan for like the 15th million time. And it's all because the conferences are.
Which of these? Let's do a little sad football. What's the saddest bowl game? And I don't mean like the first one, but when you consider the teams, the years they've had, the location, the sponsor, the actual bowl itself, like historically. What's jumping out to you as the saddest one?
Yeah. Memphis Wake Forest and the Jared Birmingham Bowl.
Yeah.
Because I know what stadium that's played in. And also, Houston plays Army in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I think Lockheed Martin.
What are we doing?
God, there's a lot of bad ones. I was literally about to say, shout out to the Cheez-It Bowl.
Big fan of the Cheez-It Bowl.
I think it might be Baylor Vandy in the Academy Sports and Outdoor Texas Bowl. Like, what is, how did, although Purdue-Auburn is also really sad, mainly for Auburn. Actually, you know who I feel worse for?
Dude, the
Sun Bowl is low-key my favorite
Pitt
bowl.
And the Sun Bowl, but it's never, have to go to El Paso.
I don't think there's ever been a good one. And it always involves one team from the Pac-12 who just has no business being there. Lane Kiffin's USC was there once.
Hey. Hey, no. Would you go to Michigan State, Oregon, and the Maybe. Red Box Bowl?
I would if I were you. It's in, yeah. Okay, so.
I don't know. It's here. I have it's a lot here. Of things to say. It's here. Here
I feel worst for Utah State, who fell all the way to the New Mexico Bowl on fucking Saturday, December 15th. I don't go to that game. It's 1 p.m. Central in...
You think Mason's going to that?
Fucking Albuquerque,
Mason, are you going to that game? Tweet us.
I mean, that's cool. I just wish they were at, like, you know, the...
They're playing the Mean Green, man, for a chance to win 11 games. At least the DXL
Frisco Bowl, for God's sakes. I forgot the second part of your question. So there's two bowl games in New Orleans.
Frisco.
So last year, there was the... I went to the RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Which I believe featured Ohio versus, I don't know who it was. Ohio versus somebody. This year, it's also very early. I think it's the 15th. Yeah, so this year it's at night, and it's actually Middle Tennessee versus App State. I would not mind watching App State. So I think I might do that. But then the Sugar Bowl is also here. Which is Texas, Georgia, which might be kind of fun. Do it.
Ooh, you should do that. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you were me, what matchup in the national championship would behoove you? Would motivate you to go to the national championship since it's here this year?
What matchup?
Ignoring the ticket price for a second. I mean, they're not free, but what would be the ideal matchup for you to go?
It'd be Oklahoma Notre Dame, but like I also don't want to. All I wanted was like not
right.
Okay, yeah.
If it's Oklahoma Notre Dame, I'll fucking go to that.
I mean, it's definitely the most fun. I don't know. There's something.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I feel like I'd do that. Never mind. I just don't want Alabama or Clemson to be in it.
I just can't. I'll go if it's Alabama Notre Dame. I would consider going to that too. I don't think I can go if it's Clemson. I really don't. Because as funny as it would be to wear a South Carolina shirt to watch Clemson lose the national championship, I can't imagine staying and watching.
Well, maybe we just buy a bunch of tickets and leave the stadium.
It makes me sick to my stomach.
Let's.
Ugh. Yeah, let's do that. That's, so the cheapest seats right now at StubHub are $900. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but dude, well, if it's South Carolina,
sure. yeah.
I've spent that on
yeah, that's fair.
I've spent that on dinner with you.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely going. So there's some, you know, there's some fucking Notre Dame fan out there who's ready to pull the trigger. I think prices plummet if it's Oklahoma Notre Dame, though, don't you think?
Ooh, I don't know. I actually don't know because I can't imagine. Yeah, that was my thought. Well, Notre Dame fans tend to travel pretty well.
We've got
to
go because we're never there.
Anyway, and they tend to have pretty deep pockets. So I think that might actually... and they also have a pretty nationwide fan base, I feel like. Hey, it'll be...
There's going to be a bunch of Clemson fans in town. I just realized that.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of going long. Let's and you mentioned dinner. So, do you have anything good to eat or drink this week?
Yes, I had a beautiful. Piece of fish on Saturday night at Black Sheep Brasserie. It was it was halibut with a beurre blanc and some smoked trout roe and some golden beets and some smoked potatoes. Like very French and very delicious. And then good to drink. Yesterday and then tonight I finished a bottle of Cruz wine. Their 2017 Carignan. Last year their 2016 Carignan was maybe my favorite wine of the year. And
I had also really fun.
So that's what I had to drink.
I went to Compare Le Pen last night.
How about you?
And I had, God, a few things. Oh, I had pretty simple thing, but just ciabatta and then this sort of dip of whipped ricotta, truffle honey, and hazelnuts. Could have just eaten that like all night and been pretty down with that. And then I had a funny... I really like Compare Le Pen's bar program, and they always have a couple of frozen drinks. So they had one that kind of was, when it came out, it looked like a frozen espresso martini or something. but it was cold brew coffee, milk porter beer, some sort of weird orgeat. I can't remember what it was exactly. And actually I think that was it. So it was like a frozen coffee thing, but not quite. So it was really good and just fun. So good stuff. Yeah.
Honorable mention to the lobster fried rice I had at brunch yesterday at Orchard City Kitchen.
That let's close really it out. Good. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Be sure to check out our sponsor, Amazon Whole Foods Market Grocery Delivery Service. Use code word run the draw and get 2-for-1 Stacy's pita chips. Or wait, not 2-for-1.
No, I think that was their regular deal.
Off of a $3.99 price.
Yeah, it's buy one, get one free Stacy's pita chips, and you get $10 off your first order.
Awesome. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Run the Draw. Send us an email, runthedrawpodcast@gmail.com. Please write us a review on our iTunes account. That'd be super cool. And be on the lookout for maybe one, maybe two episodes before we hibernate for the off season.
I was hoping you wouldn't realize. We'll talk about it next week. Yeah. Deal.